Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Sean and McKenna are back, and we are here to talk about Survivor 50, Episode 6, but in the past. We are rewinding this episode and talking about our outwit, outplay, and outlast moments of the week.
Is right, McKenna.
I think that's the only way I feel about this episode. Like, I didn't mind it, but I didn't like it. So it's like,
I don't think I'm as low on it as a lot of people are. I think there's a large vocal community who has said this is one of the worst twists in Survivor history. Maybe a 12-minute rant by someone on this channel on Wednesday about it. I can't say I disagree. But I definitely don't agree.
I think it's
so in the middle. I think, in all honesty, this is probably the best this twist could have been. Not from the results. I think the results were awful. I hate the results. I hate, you know, splitting people up at short notice, essentially giving them a rock draw to determine what their fate, because, you know, you look at the grouping that Genevieve ends up on, there's no way Genevieve isn't going home. You look at the grouping that Colby and Coach ended up with, like, one of them's going home here. The Camilla vote was, like, the only interesting one because there was kind of this question of, like, okay, does Jonathan go with Chrissy and Stephanie, or does he stick with, like, his original Kalos? So, like, there was a little bit of intrigue in that one. However, if this is our big, like, three-person exiting the season, like, I'm so glad it was actual vote-outs. And not like, oh, here's a purge, you know? Like, here you go. Sorry, you three finished last in this challenge. You're out of the game. Like, there were so many ways this could have been worse. I was dreading what this could have possibly been. Was Survivor played? If you ask Will, no. Quite frankly, it wasn't. Like, there was no room to maneuver in here. You don't get room to maneuver when you switch people into small groups and give them less than a day.
If this was a tribe swap, do we hate it less?
I think a tribe swap at five, like into groups of five, is too small. And I think we kind of saw that last year or last season in 49 when they switched to four, because there's like no room there. At least four is a little interesting because there's potential for a tie, I think. Five, not great. Not great at all. But I also kind of think, and I've been thinking this, I've been saying it in comments and things, I think this was supposed to be a split to three groups of six. Mm-hmm. And I think the Kyle medevac messed up the plan for production and they had to pivot to this. Let's send two people to exile, which might be the greatest advantage we have ever seen in the game. Like, it is potentially the most powerful advantage we have ever seen in Survivor. Mm-hmm. And put these people in fives. Because I think at six, things are a little more interesting.
Right.
If everyone has their vote. Which is another problem with the new era. But all in all, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But I might not even have liked it. But it wasn't as terrifying as I thought it could have been.
Yeah, I wonder how this plays out in a season of all newbies. If they mm-hmm. did like a 24 all newbie season and threw a blood moon in there and threw a blood moon in with 16.
Mm-hmm.
Or not 16, with tribes of six.
Yeah, again, it's just like, it's a tribe swap. And I think that's what bugs me about it, mm-hmm. is the fact that like, we're merging at 17. It's like, nah, it's a tribe swap.
Yeah, but, exactly.
And it's that disingenuousness of it. And I had mentioned to you in like our specialist chat where we were talking and everything that I think the only reason they did this merge, because I don't think we were supposed to merge this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we were supposed to merge this episode because, again, I'm under the impression that Kyle's Medevac changed the numbers on this, gave them an odd number of people.
Yep.
So that by the time they got here, they had 17. They're like, how do we do this? We're supposed to get rid of three people. We can't divide these into groups of like three even groups here.
And then merge at 15.
Merge at 15, which would be the largest merge in Survivor history.
Still, yeah.
Still, because the merge in 44, it might be mergatory technically, but like the largest grouping of people we've seen on a single island on a single tribe mm-hmm. is 44 with 14.
Right.
So I think like that was the intention. And the medevac kind of messed things up a little bit.
And that's the same with EOE of like, sorry, same with EOE that there were 14 total members a part of the merge tribe.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's, maybe I'm just coping here. Maybe I really wish we actually had the On Fire podcast so Jeff could answer these type of questions this season. Because that would be nice. But ultimately, it could have been so much worse than this. It could have been so much worse. And don't get me wrong. I think losing Genevieve and Camilla and Colby to this is terrible. I think Colby was such a shining spot on this season. I think like I think finally fit that role in like this legacy season of having someone from the early seasons come back to really be the retrospective of the entire series of Survivor. I think he really accomplished what having Wigglesworth on Second Chances was supposed to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And I think he's like, he's old school where in his values and everything, but he's hip to the game still and is still mm-hmm. able to roll with the punches and make alliances with Genevieve, with Rizzo, and you know, still it wasn't completely stuck in the old school ways, aside from like an alliance or something like that was,
yeah, you know, but you know, pre-game alliancing is part of returning seasons of Survivor. It has been since All Stars. It is just part of it. And anyone who doesn't think so is naive, right? Like, it's impossible not to pre-game.
I understand. It's just an unfortunate part.
It is unfortunate, 100%, that there is a supposed not Zoom call that happened that connected a lot of these people together and got them working together. And now they might just run shot on this entire season. It's starting to look that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I also know the moment you see Rizzo get off that boat and hug Colby as they merge is heartwarming.
Yeah.
They're back together. And now Rizzo has to go back to see that his dad's gone.
Oh, no. But Coach is here. And we get Rizzo Coach shenanigans.
I'm excited for what the rest of this game is going to look like. It's so unfortunate that we lose. This is the worst week for Canadians in Survivor history. just putting that out there, with losing Camilla and Genevieve back-to-back, terrible.
Yeah.
We finally get a shot in the dark played. in the season. Which, I speaking of Shot in the Dark,
praying that it hit.
I know. So was I. But speaking of Shot in the Dark, I do have to make a correction from what I said in the last podcast, because we've had clarification since then. The Shot in the Dark is transferable. You just can't play two of the same tribal council. So you can give your Shot in the Dark to someone, and they can keep it and play it. They're still sacrificing their own vote, but someone can technically have two Shot in the Dark in the game.
Wow.
So just thought I'd get that clarification out there, because
It has been made clear since then. When I was reading about it, it was like a non-transferable...
Yeah, Marianne and Jeff confirmed after the fact that, yes, they are transferable. So now we know for sure.
Oh my gosh,
it's that's out there. We do know that they are transferable. But...
Because I saw a clip, Camilla left with Stephanie's Shot in the Dark.
Yeah, I heard that as well. But it sounds like Camilla also gave Stephanie her Shot in the Dark. So
they swapped Shot in the Dark. Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense if they're not transferable, but Marianne and Jeff both said they're transferable. So it's a non-factor. McKenna, where do you think this season goes from here? Like, now that we're in a 14-person merge, which both promo photos seem like we might be doing Mergatory next week, but...
Listen, I don't know. I'm ready to find out next week, but we are talking about this week, John.
We are. And... Actually, we're talking about the past, but...
Same difference. Our outwit this week is Choices for Exile. So Ozzy finds this advantage, and it's like, all right, you get to choose someone to go with you to exile. And he chooses Rizzo. And we were thinking, like, when has this happened before where the person who's going to exile gets to choose? Because a lot of the time, actually, it gets chosen for them. Mm-hmm. So we have token genes, which is pretty much the only example where you get to choose the person going with you. Mm-hmm. So obviously you have like Taj getting chosen from the winners, and then Taj gets to choose Brendan, Sierra, you know, all the other people going, Aaron choosing Joe or vice versa. And in some other seasons, it is not like that. And there's so many different ways that exile gets chosen that I never realized.
I think one of the exciting things about exile is when people go to exile in pairs. Because I think going to exile by yourself, originally, I understood the idea of it. You go off, you are exiled and isolated from the game. It's a big detriment in those early seasons of Exile where you can't build a social game. I think it's part of the reason why we see Terry have such a bad social game in Panama, because like he's not really given an opportunity to build a social game, right? And he's kind of backed into that corner of being a challenge beast for it. I think you kind of see the same thing with like Penner and Candace in Cook Islands as well. But once we start getting to the point where two people are going to Exile Island in Micronesia, I think that's where Exile becomes more exciting, because it's never people from the same tribe. It's people from opposite tribes. It makes this cross-tribal thing. It accomplishes what the journey is supposed to accomplish, right? This idea of like these cross-tribal lines and everything. Sure, at this point, we're at a merge, and Rizzo and Ozzy are seemingly working together based on their common connection through Suri. McKenna, I have a very important question about this Exile Island for you. What do you make of Rizzo being the big spoon?
I think it checks.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it definitely checks. But you mentioned
Micronesia. So
I did mention Micronesia.
In Micronesia, the way that they choose people, it's the winning tribe gets full control of, all right, we're going to send someone from the losers, and then we all get to decide within our group who of us joins that person over on Exile. And this leads to, like, after the swap happens, they're like, all right, Tracy, you have to go. Or Amy, you have to go. Or Suri is like, all right, I guess I'll go. But you have to volunteer yourself away from a reward.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the reasons why we don't see Exile in the new era at all. I think it's one of those moments where, because we don't have these rewards, it doesn't have this impact that Exile used to have. Because Exile, through these seasons where they're taking pairs away, was taking someone away from a reward, it's so strong. And we see it go back to like a single person in Gabon, right? We see it go to this Gabon moment with like Sugar going all the time. And again, Sugar can't establish a social game too. So my earlier point stands. But with Micronesia, having to have someone outside of a reward is big, because that's where a lot of like connections can
bonding,
be made.
Because
it is the one moment in Survivor. And we kind of see it. I mean, obviously, like we have these moments with like we see it on the Applebee's reward this week, right? Where Chrissy's like, okay, let's not talk game, right? And yeah, they're still talking game, and the person who suggests not talking game is probably talking the most game. But you have these moments where you can kind of relax and step outside of the game, and that's where you can make real bonds with people. Mm-hmm. So having to sacrifice that moment in Micronesia to go, even if it is to build a connection on with the fan who's over there, it just doesn't have the same benefits. Even though there's like the chance of St. Kupo says, right? Like it did have the upside of finding the idol on those early seasons and in Micronesia. It's still like you're losing so much of the social game, and the social game is so pivotal to Survivor. It is one of the, we talk about strategy, we talk about physicality, and we talk about the social game. The social game plays into all these different facets of Survivor, and it's so important.
Yeah. And then we also have another way in San Juan del Sur where you duel to go to Exile. The winner of that duel sends their loved one or the opposite person that they're dueling against to go to Exile. And then they have to choose someone from their own tribe to join them on Exile. And so we see, you know, the opening challenge, Jeremy wins against Val. And then he's like, I think Keith will help her. We felt like we also had to name drop Keith Nail here. Keith is going to help her survive, you know, this Exile. So that's a single person deciding from their own tribe, and the forced, all right, you decided to put up for this duel. Your other option is win or Exile.
Yeah. And it's a little different because we didn't have the same type of rewards in San Juan del Sur as we have in these, right? Where it's like these experiential rewards. Yeah.
Fishing gear.
Yeah. Like those are things you're going to go back to anyways. But I, again, we kind of get into the whole blood versus water is one of the best twists we've ever had on Survivor. And now everyone's going to be calling for a blood versus water season because Genevieve says that's the only way she's coming back to play Survivor.
Yes.
We all want Mark on the season. So yeah, we want that Survivor. So just do it. But with that loved one aspect, I think it's really so important. And it's so weird to reflect on it because it becomes so important to Jeremy's story in Second Chances. But it's so awesome to see Jeremy win that first duel against Val and then have to select someone he thinks is going to like kind of look out for Val. And because of that, it really does emphasize the importance of who you send with people to Exile, because you are building relationships. And even when you get into the next episode where Julie beats
John
Walker and then sends Jeremy with him, right, to forge that relationship, to make them work together, right? I mean, we see that it kind of backfires when Julie decides to quit the game later for Jeremy, but it did build a relationship between Jeremy and Julie there. And it did, Jeremy hoped, would help save Val as well. And I think that's one of those big aspects of this, choosing to go to Exile with someone, is what are your intentions with it? Are you intending to weaken someone like we were seeing in early seasons with Exile? Or are you intending to strengthen someone by giving them someone to possibly form an alliance with for later on in the game?
Yeah, and we see that with, you know, the Exile Alliance also, where they all pick the four of each other in different variations to try and form those bonds moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. But as St. Clippo, once again in the comments, says something Now an exile trip can advance you three placements in the season. McKenna, is this the strongest advantage we have ever seen in the game?
I mean, advancing three placements is crazy. The luck of that is insane. We do see this happen where, mm-hmm. you know, Sally, again, we're talking about the Dan Barry boot here with Vlad, where Sally gets exiled mm-hmm. and is safe from that vote at Tribal Council where Dan goes home. Who knows what happens if Rizzo's at a Tribal Council or Ozzy's at a Tribal Council. Does, you know, Colby go home? I don't know. You know, it's just things that we're spitballing.
I will tell you there would be a lot more idols out and ready to be played that maybe someone who found two of them could have actually had one of them go back to her so she could have saved herself in this position.
Okay, side question. Genevieve goes to Tribal Council second.
Unclear. The answer is unclear, McKenna. We don't know if someone in a first Tribal Council could throw it out with the boomerang idol, if it would have gone to Genevieve so she could have saved herself.
Interesting.
You'd have to think the answer is yes. However,
I would gladly sacrifice Ozzy for Genevieve.
I'm sure a lot of people on the internet would. But alas, that's not where we're at. And instead, two idols got to advance through three Tribal Councils last night.
No.
Without being played. Well, three of them, because Aubrey also didn't have to play hers.
Yeah. So now we're going to look at our outplay moment of the week. And we are doing running through the jungle for an advantage. Now, we have done running through the jungle actually as a challenge segment before, but this is a new era moment that we can finally say, all right, we got you. So we're going to talk about Say in 48, where she got the news of there's something going on in your jungle. Go and find it. Same as they did here, where Ozzy finds it, Say finds it, but it's a challenge advantage for her instead of a surprise exile. And I loved that Ozzy was like, as long as it's not exile. In the confession, I mean, that might have been a staged confessional, but it made me happy.
Was it in the confessional, or was it as he was revealing the thing and reading it for the first time?
Maybe it was in a combination. The
confessional was
he did talk about it in his confessional. So, yeah, but like the as long as it's not an exile, both times he's like, "Why am I constantly on exile?"
Honestly, fantastic editing. Again, mm-hmm. these are the moments where you have to kind of like tip your hat to the Survivor editors. This is hilarious. It's so
even fun. If they forced him to say that in confessional of like, say, as long as I don't get exile, you know, I don't care.
Yeah, no, it works really well. It's smart. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, if a producer is making him say that, props to that producer. Like that is exactly what you want your soundbite to be there.
So with 48, Say got a challenge advantage. And I actually don't mind it being a challenge advantage at a merge when there's so many people left there and or emergatory in Say's case. But a exile where you skip three tribal councils. I know, what are you going to do with those two people? Like, I think you almost give them rocks anyway. Yeah. And just, hey, you're uneven tribes. You're not facing off against everybody. You're just facing off within the tribes. So, yeah. I don't know. Two tribal councils have six people. One doesn't. Is it fair? I don't know. But everything is random with rocks.
Okay, that's a very important thing. And I have seen a lot of people talking about this week is like the randomness of this, where it's a little too random for Survivor and like it's a little too game showy mm-hmm. for Survivor. Luck is part of Survivor. And this is some of the worst luck we've ever seen. The fact that we get essentially three swap screws in the same episode is awful. It's so bad. And we, you know what? One swap screw we'd be complaining to. And I think that that's one of the big things to remember about this is it was terrible presentation. It was awful to witness, mm-hmm. but you know what? If this had just been a normal tribe swap and Genesee gets screwed, we'd still be mad.
Or even if it was a different challenge, maybe could that have helped? Like maybe the paddle with the balls on it or something where it's a little bit more even. I don't know.
Well, I mean, now that you've mentioned the challenge, I have to mention the also stuff I've been seeing online about Tristan cheating the entire time by using his shoulder. So if you watch the challenge, there are times when it, like, Christian's definitely leaning on his hand with his shoulder a little bit, or it looks like that. I'm just going to say it here, guys. If production thought Christian was cheating, they would have called him out on it. Like, it would have happened. We've seen Jeff call people out for that type of thing before. If it was actually against the rules, they absolutely wouldn't show it in the episode. That's for sure.
I like don't even know how that's possible to like lean my shoulder on my
head. Yeah, it didn't look comfortable. But I understand why people complain about it. Yeah, this is the type of challenge that really does benefit a specific body type too. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But Say's run through the jungle. And this is kind of like something we've really seen a lot in the new era. They really like this idea of we're hiding things in the jungle. We see it with the auction.
Mainly at the end of the game too, where it's like that challenge advantage for the end game. We have that started up with the word scramble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Like we've seen these type of things before. I think it's better at the merge. I think it's like frantic skip. I think this is an illusion of this being something when watching people run through the jungle trying to find a small piece of paper isn't actually that exciting.
Yeah, I like a challenge advantage because it's just harmless.
It is. And I really like when Say bolts out of the jungle, like super speed out of nowhere, because she's getting it, if I remember correctly, she grabs it in front of Charity. Is Charity the
one? Like they both like vomit, basically. Charity sees it, Say sees it, and it's like a who's gonna go first.
But that was also interesting because it was like kind of on this pedestal and everything. It was a little more visible. And I think you can do that when it isn't so game-changing of an advantage, right? For those who don't remember, this advantage that Say ends up getting here is just she gets to skip the tribal portion of the mergatory, automatically gets the merge feast and goes to the individual portion of the challenge, because that's where we were at 48. That hunt is just one of the most entertaining, and I think it's because of how it's being narrated. I felt like this 50 hunt didn't have the narration it needed. It didn't really have anyone making really light of the situation. We got the
Rizzo and the Colby of it all.
Yeah. But
we didn't have that much of like a, I'm lost in the jungle.
The fact that we didn't get like a Rick Devens discussion, like news anchor approach to this entire thing.
We got his news anchor.
I know we got it earlier, but I felt like it would have made sense here. This is one of those moments where I think we're really missing someone like Q or Mike White, right? Like our storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
At least they didn't try to force more Christian confessionals on us for it.
Well, they sort of did. They were like, tree, nook, no. Tree, nook, no. Like, they had that bit in it. But another thing that this reminded me of, yes, it was a very good advantage because they got to skip three boots, but it also just gave me flashbacks to Jamal and IOI with the dangling parchment of, hey, actually, this sucks for you. This was not an advantage. Because exile can be good for your game if you're skipping three boots, but typically exile is bad for your game because you're getting exiled away from the tribe. So to me, this just was like a, ha, this kind of stinks for you. You're going to Exile Island, especially the way that Ozzy played it up of I don't anything but.
Yeah. Well, even the way the clues worded, right? Hey, you're all together. Sucks for you. You can't be together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's almost like production's kind of playing with that. And thankfully, it's not the same as Jamal's, where it's like, hey, go away. Don't have social game and lose your vote because it's the new era. That could have happened.
Yes.
But. Yes. Luckily, it wasn't that. It was just, hey, skip three tribal council. Again, it's an absurd number. Granted, it's less absurd when you think about it the way that everyone skipped two tribal councils.
Everyone skipped
two tribal? Everyone skips two because they go to one.
Oh,
right.
Right.
So really, like we're saying it, they skipped three. they're technically only skipping one. But right. it feels very
Ozzy and Rizzo are Sally, and like Vlad said, Colby is the Dan Barry.
Yeah, exactly. And it just feels like with this Jamal moment,
mm-hmm.
this was just walking through the woods. It was something he came upon. Was this also, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the moment where they're also like, have you never seen a pencil on Survivor before? Or was that a different trip to IOI?
I think that was a different trip to IOI.
Okay. You're right. It was Dean who did that, right?
Well, no, Jamal gave it to Dean.
No, Jamal gave it to Dean, yeah.
Same.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, Jamal was just put into, again, maybe the real connection between this episode and Jamal is this unluckiness of it.
Yeah.
Because grabbing that is so disadvantageous. And I do think, Ozzy and Rizzo get a little bit of a benefit here from the fact that this is a one-night thing. I mean, Exile Island's changed so much. And I think one of the reasons why we don't see Exile in the new era is because of the condensed schedule. We talk about it because it's like, okay, well, you have the reward challenge. They come back. This is the pencil. Okay, cool.
And it's also the merge.
Yeah. God, what an awful twist IOI was. yeah, see, the Blood Moon could have been Island of the Idols, guys. It could have been worse. But with Rizzo and Ozzy skipping this and not getting it out, at least this is, because they're such small tribes, it's so condensed, it's so hectic, like they're not, it's not even like they're really losing game time, right? Like mm-hmm. this isn't like you're going from, oh, my tribe just won a reward or lost a reward, now I don't get to talk to them before we go to the immunity challenge, and then if we lose that, you know, there's what, 4 hours before we go to tribal right. council. Like at least they get a full game cycle after this, presumably. I'm assuming we start the next episode with Rizzo and Ozzy coming back,
which normally that it would be them joining the reward challenge if there were to be a reward challenge or straight to an immunity challenge, but they're probably going to be woken up at like 6 a.m. to go back to camp.
Or hopefully there's a reward challenge next week and that's why we see a divide into two tribes. Maybe. A man can dream.
And now our outlast moment of the week, and it is merge announcements. And this merge announcement just felt so different and like anticlimactic because it was a combination of a bunch of merge announcements where they were like, all right, get on the boat in 10 minutes. And I was like, whoa, 10 minutes is crazy. That's such a long time compared to so many others where it's like, you have 3 minutes, get your stuff. And then they also arrived at the beaches and were like, okay, here's your buffs. And they were like, wait, we get our buffs? So it's just a combination of a bunch of different merge announcements that we've gotten when there's been so many unique merge announcements. And getting it this way in the new era is also throwing me off too, because where's the mergatory? We've all merged. I'm happy they merged, but also this feels like it would be a mergatory situation.
It was a mergatory situation because we,
but it wasn't. They all got their buff.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. And again, it's confusing. Also, this season 50 now gets added to our season of people who make the merge but don't make the jury. With three people doing that. This is, I feel like what was really missing for me from this merge announcement is like, whatever, they merge, sure. This is Survivor 50. Why don't we have Jeff giving a merge announcement? Why isn't Jeff saying, drop your buffs, we are merged? It feels like such an iconic thing that there should be a bunch of celebration about it. But again, this feels so like laissez-faire. Because it's like, oh, hey, here you're all on a beach together. Oh, look, you have merge buffs.
Yeah, I mean, so we want that Jeff moment, right? But in the Merge of Samoa, which we are watching over on the Patreon, so make sure you watch that so you can listen to us tomorrow over on Patreon. But the merge of Samoa is just a chest on a beach, and the two tribes arrive to the chest, and they're just like, okay, do we open this? Because they also had bocce ball earlier in the season where it's like a do-it-yourself reward challenge. Is this another do-it-yourself reward? And then they open it up and are just like, oh, the buffs, the flag, the food. Oh my gosh, this is the merge. And that felt like so lame because Jeff wasn't there too. But we have gotten many a time where Jeff isn't there. It's just we feel accustomed to drop your buffs, you're merged.
It just feels like it's a monumental thing. And it feels like on a Survivor 50, like a season of 50, there should be a celebration of making the merge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It feels like Jeff should be there, not talking about nature for 3 minutes as he tries to explain how the blood moon is such a rare occurrence that so we're calling this a blood moon. I cannot get over this twist. Like, the name of this twist is so dumb. Like, Will has a great rant, and if you haven't checked out, like, it's clipped for the Instagram, so if you go onto Instagram, you'll see the rant, because it is just such a dumb name. It makes absolutely no sense why they went with this name.
Mm-hmm.
The Samoa merge, I think, is even more awkward than we're giving it credit, McKenna, because they go, and there's this chest on the beach, and then right behind that is a merge feast. Like, how do you, like, how much instruction are these people being given? Like, go to the chest, open the chest, then you can do everything else. And how could you possibly walk down that beach and be like, I smell food. There is so much food nearby. And I can see the food, but I have to pay attention to this stupid box.
I mean, they were probably like, all right, we're going to stage you guys. Now, once we walk in, you guys are going to look at the chest and be like, what's this? And then you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been like just a whole rigmarole. But I think one of my favorite merge announcements is the boys' night and girls' night out in Outback, where the boys from one camp and the girls from the other swap and meet each other at camps so they can, you know, see all camps and see where they want to merge to. And you also get that mingling pre-merge of we spent a night together. And I just love how they did this, where it's different from a summit like in Borneo or in Marquesas or something like that, where only two people go and deal with everything. But this, you're at each other's camp. You have the drama of Keith taking the matches to the Kucha camp, and Ogacore with the girls can't heat up any of the food. We have some people bringing over cans of food to eat as a peace offering. And it's just a great way to then announce, hey, you're merged now. That wasn't just a for fun thing. That was that meant something.
I think it's also missing something that we've been missing for merges for a long time, which is this decision of what camp to live on. And like, there are a lot of times where we don't get that decision. A lot of times it is dictated, but I think it was something that was really fascinating about some of these earlier merges was this idea of like, okay, figure out what camp you're going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just like, okay, send one person from your tribe so you can figure out which one you're going to.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Right. It's such a simple aspect that is really lost in the overproduction of Survivor nowadays. And what's so interesting about the Australian one is because you've divided it by gender for some reason, it makes it so there's a weird dynamic when you're trying to decide which one to go to, because only half of the tribe see both camps.
I know. Well, only Sean and Jenna see both camps too. So there's that. And then you have Kathy and Rob who've seen both camps because they've swapped.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's just a fun way to do things. Plus it adds a little social game of like, do we give them our food? Do we take it? Mm-hmm. How do we portion things out? Do we, you know, spend a little bit more time with our visitors? Like, I don't know. It's just a cool way. And then at the merges, you have the what should we name our tribe? Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great part of the merge. And for 50, I want to know why it's Manu Levu that is a season 38 tribe and a season 35 tribe.
Well, I'm assuming it translates to something.
But like Rick Evans and Chrissy are there.
Manu Levu translates to bird?
Oh, Phoenix?
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
Because like the bird is on the buff and everything.
Yeah.
I like what St. Cliffo says here. This was just a tribe swap with a social hour before the
chapel. It was! St. Cliffo's absolutely right. And I think like as we conclude this podcast, McKenna, like that's just what it comes down to is we can say this is a merge. Survivor can say this is a merge as much as they want,
mm-hmm.
but it's not.
There's always an asterisk.
Honestly, if you just said this was a tribe swap, I bet you people would be a little less upset with you.
100%. 100%. So we are going to be watching season 19, episode 8, All Hell Breaks Loose. So make sure you go and do that. John, what is happening in the Specialist universe?
Well, I already mentioned Will's 12-minute rant to start off the recap on Wednesday. It's honestly really worth listening to. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Him and Blake recapped on Wednesday. Phil, Blake, and Bryce Isaiah dug a little deeper yesterday. That was a really fun podcast. Phil has the power rankings on Sunday with... Do you know who his guest is this week?
Yeah, I do. The one and only Blake!
There you go. Blake is doing the power rankings with Phil this week. I think power rankings, that should be a really interesting episode because I honestly have no idea what's going to happen in this merge.
It's Big Bird because of the yellow buffs.
Oh, that's hilarious, St. Cliff. Thank you for that. Then Tegwith has Gabby Pascuzzi coming on for the Matt Chat on Monday this week. Predictions on Tuesday. I think Phil's like in the process of like going across the country. So
it's Tuesday. Do you know the guest?
No, I don't. Do you?
It's Peridium.
Oh, there we go. Peridium's there for the predictions this week. That should be really fun. It's always great to have Peridium on the channel. And then Phil should be back from his adventures across America to recap next week's actual merge episode, ?
I don't think that's right either.
McKenna and I will be here next week to do another rewind. We'll probably talk another merge episode. Like McKenna said, make sure you become a patron. That way you can listen to me just stump Natalie White for like and however long that podcast is.
Yes.
Because really that's all I'm going to end up doing on that Samoa podcast. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, click the bell, do all those things, follow us on social media because honestly, there's a lot of funny clips on social media right now with Will's rant. So do that too. And we will see you next time.
Goodbye.